reflection today begins our second part of the Mass, what is known as the Liturgy of the Word. The Gospel of John has a prologue, and it begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you have a Bible and you're wondering if you've got a good translation, go to this section of the Bible. And if it follows this interpretation that I just read, you can trust that the rest of the translation is good. But if it does not follow it, if it leads you into some confusion about who Christ is, then I don't think I would trust the other translation in the Bible as well. Why is this important? Because sacred scripture is more than just a bunch of words. The Old Testament and the New Testament are sacramentals. They point to the Father by pointing through the Son, the Word. This is why religions that don't acknowledge Christ as the Son of God, others that don't take the New Testament into consideration, they can lead down some dangerous tangents. It's kind of like having a map on a trip and getting lost, not knowing where you are at. When I was working, we occasionally would have groups over from overseas, and one group was from Japan. And they were there, and there was a big stock show going on over in Denver. And so they wanted to go. And they got rented a car, and they looked at a map, opened it up. They saw Waukon, Iowa. They saw Denver, Colorado, all on one page. Not a bad deal. So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, off they go to Denver. And we're like, I don't know. But we couldn't communicate well enough to tell them. They knew. And so we got a phone call about 7 o'clock at night. They were in Des Moines or Omaha, maybe. They could not believe how big this country was. It all fit on one page of a map. The one page of the map in Japan, they can drive it in 4 hours. They had the wrong scale. They had the wrong interpretation. Jesus Christ is our interpretation, our scale to read sacred scripture, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament. He is the Word from the very beginning. And it is in this light we see that the sacred scripture is more than just a bunch of letters. It is a person, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And all liturgical words in some way point to the divine word. They make it audible in our hearts. Perhaps not in the ears of our head, but in the ear of our soul, the ear of our heart. The Liturgy of the Word encapsulates entire salvation history in each and every Mass. Before Christ, God conversed with His people through the prophets. But in Christ, God continues to converse with His people through His Son. And these readings that we have every Sunday are meant to deepen that relationship that we have with the Holy Trinity. And it is a conversation. It is called to be a back and forth. We don't have a God who simply gives us marching orders and demands that we do what He say. We have a God who desires to love. And in that love, He wants to enter into a conversation with His sons and daughters. The incarnate Word of God has spoken clearly and definitively. But sometimes we don't listen. Just like in our physical ears can get kind of clouded with wax and we might not hear real well, our spiritual ears can get clouded with sin. God walked with Adam every day in the Garden of Eden. And they had a conversation and a deep relationship until Adam sinned. And that relationship was shattered. So God sent His only Son to remove that sin from our hearts so that we might hear, so that we might experience His love in a relationship. And this conversation continues. It continues every Sunday. And it is the back and forth. It can continue every day at daily Mass. So when we come to the Mass, we hear the first reading. And this, God is speaking to us of a future Christ. Speaking to us of a Christ who is yet to come. And then we are given a psalm for reflection. And in this psalm, we respond. But we don't respond in the words that we make up. We respond in the words that God Himself has given us. The second reading comes from the New Testament. Readings from the early apostles, from the early disciples, speaking to those who lived at the first centuries of Christianity, but also speaking to us today. And then we get the gospel, stories and words from Christ Himself. And then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, hopefully the homily brings us all together. Takes the lessons of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the gospel, and helps us to apply them into our lives today so that we can experience that our lives from our ancestors in many ways is not that different, and we can apply those lessons into our lives, listening with the ears of our heart, with the ears of our soul. What does this passage say to me? The reading should be that personal. Like in our gospel today, the crowds came to John the Baptist and asked, "What should we do?" The tax collectors came. What should we do? All of these different groups, the soldiers, continued to come to John the Baptist. What should we do? We should go to Christ. What should I do? That's how personal our readings are to be. We're invited to listen. And in this listening, it leads us to a response. Because once we truly hear with our heart, with our soul, we're changed. And we'll never go back to being the same. All of this calls us into a response. Pope Emeritus Benedict tells us that the Holy Trinity reveals Himself as a dialogue of love between the divine persons. In the Liturgy of the Word, we are invited into that dialogue. We are invited into that relationship so that we can have a deeper relationship. All of this leads to a conversion and a contemplation. Contemplating this heart-to-heart dialogue, helping me to see my place in the world in the light of Christ. And that should bring us to a resolution. What am I going to do with this new reality? What actions have these readings today inspired in my heart? This is where full participation that Vatican II wrote so beautifully about comes into play. And so often we see full participation as something that I have to do. And we need that. We need lectors, choir members. We need Eucharistic ministers. We need ushers. We need people to serve in various parish organizations. We need all of this. But that can't be the primary. The primary focus, the primary intention has got to be that full participation, that listening with the heart, and allowing that to lead me to service, allowing that to lead me to where God desires me to be. And when we finish with this part, liturgically, it leads to the creed. I believe. So similar to looking and praying, or reciting the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, but the creed is something that goes deeper. The creed goes to the very roots of our being. It is a prayer. The Pledge of Allegiance is a great and good and noble thing. And hopefully we all know that and pray that. Say that. But the creed goes deeper. It is not something only of this world, because as beautiful and as great as the United States is, the United States belongs to this world, and this world is passing. But there's one thing that will not pass, and that is the Word of Christ. The creed is a prayer that leads us through this life into eternity, listening with the ear of my soul, responding with my heart, giving myself wholeheartedly to God. This is the response He wants from every one of His sons and daughters. The final segment of the Liturgy of the Word then is our petitions, our universal prayer of the faithful, interceding for the church, interceding for the needs of the world, interceding for our own community, interceding for each of our families, and finally interceding for my own personal intentions that I bring to every Mass. A conversation. This universal prayer of the faithful is led by the priest, the deacon, the lector, whomever it might be. But then we enter into it as well, as a community. Lord, hear our prayer, calling out, interceding. And all of this prepares us for the liturgy of the Eucharist, for the consecration topics for next week.
There will be confessions this Sunday at St. John's Church at 12 o'clock noon. The penance service at St. Wenceslaus in Eastman has been canceled. The parish council will meet this Thursday at 5 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall at St. John's. Father Fagan's Christmas letter can be picked up in the back of the churches.
Grab that with your finger.
Calendars are available at the church entrance. Script will be sold after Mass.
And next week we will have a Christmas present for the entire parish. It's a book, The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. And so this book hopefully will empower you to live a life to the fullest. Our culture is constantly throwing crap at us. It's throwing stuff at us and leading us and lying to us and trying to get us to follow it, to follow our own whims. But this book can helpfully help us to identify those things and gives us some help on how to battle those things. And so we'll have a book for every one of our families. We'll do that giveaway next for the fourth Sunday of Advent. But then also for Christmas Day, we'll have all of the leftovers. So hopefully this is a book that comes into your family and it's read and passed on. And it can be passed on to other people within our parish, outside of our parish. If you have children in school, it's away at a university, a very important book and a very good book for them as well. So if there are some of those that are left over on Sunday or on Christmas Day, grab some for those that are living away from home as well. This book is available due to the generosity of some of our parishioners. And so I think it's a book that will change lives, because it's only by changing our lives that we can change the life of our parish, we can change the life of our town, we can change the life of our state, our nation, our church, our world.